You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
All right, for our reading this morning, it's a passage from Proverbs, and it's just a brief passage. Proverbs is one of those books that was brought together probably around the 6th century before the Common Era, when the Jews were trying to put together a group of literature, a set of literature that they'd be able to pass on to their children. Because at the time, they were in exile in Babylon. The Babylonians had destroyed Jerusalem and dragged all the people that they thought could make a difference in their own administration and work back to Babylon. So meanwhile, their kids were attending, you know, Babylonian PS 109, and they were being taught about how Marduk was the greatest god and all of this kind of thing. And the Jewish leaders were like, whoa, wait a second. We need to put together some stuff that lets our kids know who we are and what our values are. And so Proverbs is brought together from all sorts of different sectors of Jewish thought. And some of it is very practical about how to live your life without getting into trouble with your neighbors. And some of it is more aspirational. And our passage for today is more aspirational. And one of the things that is really cool is to remember that, especially in the what has now come to be the Kabbalistic Jewish tradition, that the spirit plays a very large part, and that that spirit has a feminine pronoun. The spirit is a she. And you'll find in this passage that what we're talking about is the spirit as wisdom. You'll find in the Greek that that comes through as Sophia, right? Sophia means wisdom. And that's what is being discussed here, is that you want to pursue this wisdom. And so this is just a great passage for any time, but especially as we enter into the new year, it's a great passage to keep in mind as an aspiration for all of us as we look at what we're going to seek to accomplish in the new year. So here our passage from Proverbs.
Happy are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding, for her income is better than silver and her revenue better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Bruce, do you want to use that mic here?
So, I'm supposed to just go off the cuff and tell you guys interesting things about SSP over my 5 years of doing it. If I get on staff this year, which I'm applying to, it'll be my sixth. But SSP has been just a wonderful experience for me, and I love that people are that we're still going to be doing it this year and hopefully years future. But I started in SSP coming out of eighth grade, so it was summer break after eighth grade, and I went with some people who graduated last year with me. And so we all showed up to South Central, and as we pulled in, there was a fight in the street right in front of the church, so that was our introduction. And we went into it was the gym next to the church is where we were allowed to stay, and I was the only person who brought a cot. And so David started making fun of me, and other people started making fun of me, but as soon as...
Not by the end of the week.
Yeah. As soon as the next day started, and everyone had to pull all their mattresses out and stack them up against the wall, and my cot was just already there, all set up, ready to go for me to fall asleep in. People started going, huh, maybe he's on to something. And then as the week went on, air mattresses started to deflate, and they had to reinflate them, and the cot just sort of stayed as it would. And so every year after that, I brought my cot. It was very, very nice, especially whenever we went from South Central, this shirt's from my second year that we went, to San Diego, and we slept in their youth areas, and it was on carpet floor like this, so it was pretty much concrete. And people like Lucas forgot mattresses, and so they slept on a sleeping bag. So the cot reigned supreme over those 5 years. But moving into the work aspect of it, I got a lot of experience. I did 2 community gardens, 2 fences, and I painted a church with my groups. And they're all from different churches that come from the west coast of the U.S. No one's come further than New Mexico in any of the weeks that I've gone. But just learning different ways of building and teamwork and leadership and all those different great aspects. It's been a wonderful growing experience. And then we always have one day in the week where we go out, and it's called Adventure Wednesday. And so whenever we went to South Central, we would go and clean up an alleyway for half the day, and then we'd go to the ocean and have a barbecue and sort of relax and enjoy the middle of the week. And the first year we were there, we found a toilet in this alleyway. And so there's a picture of Connor Wadinski and I carrying this toilet out of the alleyway. And then the next year, there was another toilet in the alleyway, and so there's a picture of Alex and I carrying the toilet out of the alley. And so every year we joked about it, and I think they found half a toilet the third year, but I was not in that picture. But then people from our church would always be the ones to find the big trash things. Like, we found some tires a couple years ago in one of the washes that we cleaned out in, well, not washes, canyons that we cleaned out in San Diego. And so it's just, we're always going and trying to find the largest trash items we could just to clean that out. But it's always a good experience, because at that point in the middle of the week, you sort of know everyone. Or at least you've heard of everyone, you're starting to know people's names, and so you sort of get to actually mingle with these people and meet them, and you're all just tired, and you can relate on something at this point, and so it really helps make those friendships that last. 'Cause from my third year, the first year that we went to San Diego, we were with some church, and this girl was there, and so we had met from SSP. And last year, on the band trip that I went on, I met her on the band trip. We, like, actually ran into each other. And so we were like, we know each other. And so that was cool, just being able to reconnect just like that from Sierra Service Project. And it's also helped to strengthen my faith in that there is a higher power. Just going and meeting people and being without there being, like, expectations put on me. You're just there. People aren't going, and it's not a popularity contest. It's none of that. You're just there. You're doing your best, and that's what people want to see. And so going there, you get an experience, and you get to meet all different people from all different religions and different walks of life. And you also get all this time to meditate, and they put aside time in the mornings. And in San Diego, whenever we'd go on Thursday night, we'd go to Sunset Cliffs, and we'd watch the sunset, and we'd go on a spirit walk. And just having times to meditate and meet people and hear their faith stories, it helped me grow in my faith, and I really appreciate having that experience. And I believe now we have the presentation of the SSP tools.
Thank you, Bruce. Why don't we have the whole crew come up here? Let me just grab that real quick. Why don't you take off your jackets if you've got a shirt on? You've got your shirt on the outside. All right, you're excellent. Yeah, excellent. I did that too. Oh, I think I better. This hat has been on all five trips. I hear that several people have threatened to take up a collection to replace this hat, but no, it's my good luck hat. So let me just look up here on the screen, and here's Bruce learning to use the tools. I just have to say, Sierra Service Project is such an incredible organization. It's taken its model from the Appalachian Service Project, which was also a Methodist organization, and they've been going now for many, many years. They have 7,000 kids that go through this whole thing every summer. And they've got a group of amazing young people who are paid a pittance, but they're paid, to dedicate 7 weeks of their life this summer to be the leaders for this group. So when we arrive as participants, it's really a turnkey operation. All of the money that you help donate and that we raise goes towards all of the supplies and the tools and the food and all of that. So we arrive and they're set. They divide us up into teams and off we go. And what I'm so excited and proud of is, as Bruce mentioned, Bruce is applying for one of those positions this year. So, wow. So I hope that he's going to make that. And so let me just show you a couple of quick pictures here. This was my team. I had just a rainbow of kids in my team. And this is the way many of them were: African-American, Filipino, Chinese, Japanese. It was just amazing. The kids not only helped make the meals, but they had to clean up after themselves. We had to tote all of the supplies. On our Wednesday, we went to, about half of us went to Mexico. For those parents who wanted to let their kids go across. So we formed a big circle. Half of us were on one side of the fence and the other were on the other side, and that was a very powerful experience. We also visited a homeless shelter in Tijuana. This is a Methodist-run homeless shelter, and in large part, there are a lot of people there who have been deported recently. And there are people who are what we would call dreamers. They're folks who have pretty much lived their entire lives into their 40s and 50s in the U.S., having arrived here when they were children. And then they're deported to Mexico. They can barely speak Spanish. And so they're really at a disadvantage. And so the Methodist Church there is really helping people get oriented to the culture if they're going to be back there for 10 years before they can reapply to go and come back with their families here in the U.S. So that was a powerful experience as well, to hear their stories and to eat with them and to see what's going on there. One of the big things that we're working on there is helping those folks find jobs. And one of the things, if you've ever tried to call one of the big corporations and you get a telecommunications person that sounds like they're from America, but they're actually in Tijuana, because some of them have been deportees, and that is a job that they can get there, and they're really, trying to fill the jobs there. Here's a picture of our young adult leaders, who we put ourselves at their mercy for the whole week, and it's just amazing how they take charge and how they organize everything. And a lot of these kids have never held a power tool before. And so there's all kinds of safety training and all kinds of awareness. So it's an amazing thing. You also helped make it possible this year for us to take 3 refugee kids with us as part of our team, 2 from Africa and 1 from Iraq. And so they just integrated completely didn't they? I mean, it was great. So we had a great time with them. And then here's our team getting ready to go. So really thankful for your support in helping make this possible. I'm just going to ask the kids to go down here and tell us where they are going to school and what grade they're in. And while they do that, Dee Dee, you want to help pass out the wrenches? Every year we've been trying to give out another helpful, handy tool. So we gave him a tool belt about 3 or 4 years ago, which I know you wear to school all the time. And exactly. And then a hammer. And this year we've got a mighty big wrench. I mean, look at that. That is pretty good. So if they go on SSP enough times, they're going to have quite a nice tool belt. Yeah. So let's go down and just have everybody say their name, where at school they're going at, what grade they're. Yeah.
I am Bruce Ferguson. I go to Northern Arizona University, and I just finished my first semester there, but credit-wise, I'm now a second semester sophomore. So.
Woo! My name is Maddie Felton, and I'm in 7th grade, and I go to Ingleside Middle School.
My name is Nathaniel Felton. I'm a senior, and I go to Veritas Preparatory High School.
Hi. My name is Lucas Ewald. I go to Fountain Hills High School. I'm a junior.
I'm Margie Ferguson. I'm a sophomore. I go to Fountain Hills High School.
Let's hear it for her.
All right. Well, let's do
our end-of-year blessing, shall we? You guys can have a seat if you're not actually going to be reading this. And this is a little blessing that the kids are going to lead us in to lead us into the new year. And if you guys just want to use this candle to light from here and light each candle as we go down, that would be great. So take it away, Bruce.
Let us remember and celebrate 2017. We light this candle, remembering all who were baptized or who experienced significant spiritual growth in our congregation this past year. May this light be a symbol of the light of Christ being passed on to a new generation and with new understanding. We light this second candle, remembering all those who have experienced grief and loss in 2017. The death of a loved one, the ending of a significant relationship, the loss of employment. May this light be a symbol of continuing comfort and support. We light this third candle with gratitude for all those who have shared in the ministry and mission of the Fountains. Servant leaders, lay preachers, musicians and singers, those who offered pastoral care, or reminded us of our wider community. Those who visited hospitals and nursing homes, cooked meals, or offered transport. Those who cared for our facilities and grounds, who folded mailings and worship guides, who gave directions to visitors and made others feel welcome. May this light beam with the compassion and servant heart of the Christ One in our midst. We light this fourth candle, remembering all those who have visited our congregation this year, and for those who in 2017 decided to call our fellowship their spiritual home. May this light beam as a symbol of our continued commitment to life as a community of disciples. We light this fifth candle, mindful of those who have called us to risk the way of Jesus, to create an inclusive, safe, open, and honest community for all. May this light be a symbol of hope in the midst of both challenge and change. We light this sixth candle, having each and every one of us in mind, bearing each other in strengths and weaknesses, anxieties and hopes. May this light be a reminder of the Spirit's presence with us on the pathways we have welcomed, and also where we didn't want to go. May it continue to shine for each and every one of us on the new pathways we will tread in 2018. We light this seventh candle to remind us of the vast, beautiful, troubled, delicious, extravagant, unjust, joyful, dangerous, complex, simple, confusing, sweet, yucky, unfair, generous, unbearable, beautiful, painful, mysterious creation of which we are a part. May this light beam as a reminder to live a life of humility and gratitude for all that was, for all that could be, and for all that is, here and now. We light this eighth candle as a symbol of the peace of God here in our midst. May this light remind us of the Spirit's presence here and everywhere we find ourselves. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.